Well, good morning. This is Tom Moulton, your host for the Morning Voice. And I am coming to you live from the Hilton over here, the El Conquistador Hilton Resort. And we have quite the show for you because today is the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce annual meeting, and of course it's an award celebration as well. In just a few minutes we'll have Christian Sharp here, the president and CEO of the chamber. But before we get started, good morning, Tim Bimmerstedt.
Hey, Sunshine.
Yep, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you fine as well. And Tim is the co-host of the Morning Voice. Every Thursday we get a chance to talk to festivals coming in this weekend, as well as the attractions. And Tim is a former marketing director of the Desert Museum and a former sales and catering manager at Old Tucson, and many other jobs that we might mention throughout the hour. But Tim always has his favorite three festivals that are either coming or they're actually taking place right now. So Tim, can you share that list with us?
Well, absolutely. We've got the Arizona International Film Festival going on right now. Started April 3rd, it's running through the 13th, mainly at the screening room at Hotel Congress, but at several other downtown Tucson locations. We've got the Agave Heritage Festival taking place today through the 13th, and features tastings, dinners, lectures, and much more. And then one of my favorite events of the year, the Great Paper Airplane Fly-Off, taking place this Saturday, April 12th. It's where kids ages 6 to 14 get to compete in a paper airplane fly-off by making and throwing paper airplanes to see whose can go the furthest. Starts 9:30 in the morning at the Pima Air and Space Museum over at 6000 East Valencia Road. So those are the big ones going on this weekend. And I encourage you to go to visit Tucson.org or thisistucson.com to find out more about these and many other festivals and events going on in Southern Arizona.
So thank you, Tim. And I think you probably have a pretty good story about the beginnings of the Great Airplane event. Can you share with us some of that exciting times that we saw? Go ahead, sir.
It was a real time. I left the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum to go work at Pima Air and Space Museum as a director of operations, and that was our first major event. And we actually went on after the winner, I believe his name was Arturo Valdenegro, of the contest. We flew him to California, where he started working with engineers, and we built the world's largest paper airplane and actually flew it.
I was there.
Yeah, it was quite a day.
It was fantastic. I remember you. And then after that, we had a great airplane show, didn't we?
We did.
And some kind of a power drink company, wasn't he?
The pilot?
Yes, it was the pilot, and he lived right there.
Yeah, Kirby Chambly.
That's right. And
he was the Red Bull stunt pilot, and he gave us a private air show.
Yeah, I mean, that was fantastic. Well, Tim, we have our first guest here from the Fantastic. Greater Oral Valley Chamber of Commerce, and good morning, Makena Markley.
Hi, Dom. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for coming. I know it's busy, busy, busy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got a wonderful setup for the annual and.
Annual meeting and awards breakfast.
And, yeah. And we've got to get that title right. This is something you, of course, do every year.
Yes.
Do you know what year this is of the...
This is our 33rd year of doing annual meeting.
You know, I was coming into the Hilton this morning, and I was wondering, I wonder how many years the Oral Valley, and I think it was originally, wasn't you didn't have the word greater in front of it.
Originally, it was the... Northern Pima County Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay. Was it was that before Oral Valley was
No, so we started in 1993.
Okay.
And Oral Valley was created in 1974. So
okay.
about 20 years after the original foundation of Oral Valley, the chamber was started. And then after being like the Northern Pima Alliance Chamber, we transitioned to being the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce. So we cover Oro Valley, but also we extend into the other areas of Southern Arizona as well.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that because I know I've known at least a couple of the chamber executives before Kristen. All great people.
Yeah.
Very friendly with Pima County. And you may recall that for 17 years I was at Pima County and we enjoyed, but most importantly, I moved here in 1997. We started out at Rancho Vistoso, and then we ended up at Copper Creek and raised our kids there. And, you know, wonderful place to raise your kids, a great friendly community and mm-hmm. beautiful views.
Yes. I think we have the best views in Tucson, honestly. Yeah, the mountains in Oro Valley are hard to beat. So.
It seems like wherever you wake up, whether you're on, I guess it doesn't make any difference. You just look, and there are the Catalina Mountains. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. So.
And that's really a good part of, you know, knowing your way around Tucson is by the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like wherever you are, you can... view either the Catalina Mountains or the Tucson Mountains or the Rincon Mountains, you know, and you know where you are. You don't need to know north, south, east, and west when you're in Tucson. Now, tell us a little bit about what is going on today.
Well, we are meeting for, like you mentioned, our annual meeting and awards breakfast. So at this event, it's really tailored towards the community. We host a nonprofit fair to start in the morning, so our nonprofit exhibitors are getting ready right now for that, and that will get started pretty soon here in about 15 minutes. And they will be able to show to these businesses that are coming today what they do, their mission and vision and values, all that good stuff, be able to, you know, really communicate their goal for the future of Southern Arizona with a different group of people than they might normally access. And then during our program, after breakfast, we will be giving out awards. So we open up nominations at the beginning of the year, and those go out, and anybody can nominate one of the businesses of the chamber that they believe is outstanding. So we give out awards for outstanding small, mid-sized, large business, outstanding nonprofit, and outstanding community leader. And then today is the day that we announce the winner of those awards.
Yeah, and I noticed right outside our makeshift studio, this morning, there's this really long line of banquet tables. What do you think's going on there?
That was for a different event, actually.
Oh,
so that's not ours at all.
That's not your event.
No,
oh,
event.
Okay. Well, if you go walk down a little bit,
yes.
There's another line of tables.
Yes, and those are for our buffet breakfast.
All right, okay.
So those will definitely be exciting.
So I got excited because I saw these two buffet lines, and I go like, I know we're expecting over about 350 or so people.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of folks that turn out. And so tell us about what is the typical member, if there is a typical member of the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce?
There really is not, unfortunately, a typical member. We have such a wide variety of all the different businesses that are members. So from major large members like the El Conquistador Tucson, which we're being hosted at so lovely today, all the way down to small businesses that are run out of people's home, that it's just the one person working for their own personal business. So we have businesses with over 1,000 employees. We have businesses with literally just one employee. And then businesses that are, you know, in-home, businesses that are storefront businesses. We even have businesses that are out of the state, out of Arizona, that just want to support and participate and really encourage the growth of business in Southern Arizona. So
yeah, it's quite the diversity, as you mentioned, of members. And why do you think people join a chamber these days?
Yeah, I think especially post-COVID, coming out of COVID pandemic, there was a lot of disconnection between the business community, a lot of longing for connection and face-to-face interaction. And so I think that that's definitely a big impetus for why we've seen networking growing with such rapid speed. But as far as joining a chamber, there's a lot of different reasons why people join. And again, it goes in with that. There's no one specific member that joins the chamber. So we have businesses that join because they want to participate or they want our assistance with public policy and government advocacy. We have people that want to join because they just like the mission of the chamber and they want to support us so that we can continue doing what we do. We have people that join the chamber so that they can grow and expand their network and work on themselves that way. And then we have people that join because they want more publicity and notoriety about their brand and their business name. And then we also have people that join, I mean, just because we put out a directory each year that goes out to 25,000 prints and they want to participate in that. So there's again, tons of reasons why people might join a chamber, but we exist for lots of different reasons. We kind of are really, at the end of the day, just here to help with business-to-business connection and making businesses thrive. So.
Well, that's fantastic. Now we're going to go to our first break, and I know you're really pressed for time, but I could ask you to stay over just for about 10 more minutes. Is that possible? Maybe five. And then we'll get, because I want to ask you a couple of questions about some of the key folks that are members of the Oro Valley Chamber. This is The Voice, on KBOI 10:30. The Morning Voice happens every weekday, and we'll be right back with Makena. And this is Tom Moulton, your host. Well, good morning. This is The Morning Voice, and I am your host, Tom Moulton. It's a good morning because Kristen just walked in. Come over here, Kristen. We're going to get you next to the mic. Thank you, Makena, for being on the air. And boy, I'm a lucky person because the CEO and the president of the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce had just walked into our studio here at the beautiful El Conquistador. And we have to say it because Shelby, the general manager, is right outside the door, a Hilton resort. So
yes.
So good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy you're here. We're going to be on the air for about 10 minutes or a little less because we know you got to get back.
Yes, busy morning.
So we heard a little bit from Makena about what the annual meeting is, but what we don't know is much about you.
Oh.
So
well,
I think.
What do you want to know?
Well, we want to take just 2 minutes.
Okay.
Because before the Greater Oro Valley position, you were doing something else out there, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
So tell us just a little bit about yourself.
So I have a background in education.
Okay.
I came from Missouri. I lived on a farm, and I was a small town. Actually, I grew up like right in the middle of town, but we moved out to the country when I was in high school. But I always had pigs and sheep, and one year I showed a steer, and that was not my favorite experience. So mm-hmm. I didn't do that again. But I loved growing up in a rural community. I was highly involved in FFA and 4-H. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
And, yeah, and those high school leadership organizations. So that's what I wanted to continue to do. So I went to school at the University of Missouri to get my teaching degree in agricultural education. So that way I could continue doing FFA and all of the leadership stuff. So I taught high school agriculture for 2 years, which was animal science, plant science, greenhouse marketing. I even did wood shop and metal shop.
Was still going on back
it
then.
Was, yeah.
I mean, it went. You know, shop kind of went away for a while, but it sounds like that your school community was right on because shop came back.
Yeah, you know, even there's a really good shop program here in Oral Valley at CDO High School. They've got a fantastic program there even. So I taught high school for 2 years, and then the University of Arizona called, and they said, they said, hey, come on out to Arizona. We'll give you your master's. We'll pay you to teach leadership courses.
Wow.
And you'll get it done in a year, and you can go home. So I said, okay, cool, I'm going to do that. Well, I got out here in June of 2011. I met my future husband October of 2011. We started dating in February of 2012, and here we are. We've been married for 10 years now. We have two beautiful children, and we're living life here in Oral Valley.
That's fantastic. And, of course, while we won't completely reveal your husband's name, he is the son of the famous law enforcement officer of Oral Valley, and lots of kudos goes out to Mr. Father-in-law, who started out as a Tucson police officer and came over here. And, you know, I moved here in 1997, and there was no other place to live than Oral Valley. And we met everyone, of course, and at that time I was the GM of Old Tucson. But we settled in the community, and it was a nice 35-40 minute drive to work and back home, and we just fell in love with it, and we're in our second home in Oral Valley. So,
wonderful.
You know, and Oral Valley is such a wonderful place, and today we're going to celebrate, right?
Yes.
Some folks that have been really, really engaged in this community, because the award celebration is a big part of your annual meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and tell us, I know you can't reveal. Can you share some of the nominees?
I can. I'm not going to spill the beans.
And we want to hear breaking news here on the Morning Voice, but we understand because not too long from now, 9 or something, you know, we're going to learn about who the winners are of these really folks that have blood, sweat, and tears into Oral Valley. But so if you can share some of the nominees, that would be exciting.
Yeah, I will share with you the finalists in each category.
Oh, that's breaking news too.
Yes. For Outstanding Small Business, our finalists are Gracie Barra Oral Valley, which is a jiu-jitsu gym here in the marketplace. OV Pizza and Pints, which was previously known as Z Pizza, so they just rebranded this past year. And Schultz Financial Group, a wonderful financial organization who does a lot for our community. In Outstanding Mid-Sized Business, we have Done Right Services, Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free Bakery and Bistro, and Home Care Assistance. And let's see, Outstanding Large Business, we have KENG Construction and Roche Tissue Diagnostics. We've got Outstanding Nonprofits. So our three finalists this year are Life Beyond the Book, San Miguel High School's Corporate Work Study Program, and Youth on Their Own. And then we have Outstanding Community Leader. We've got Greg Dernan with Acacia IT, Katie Yaeli with the Play District, and Tony Penn of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Well, you heard it here on the Morning Voice, and I'm sure everybody listening to the radio station is rushing to the Hilton El Conquistador to share that. You're a finalist. You're a finalist. Now, do you recall who was the Small Business awardee from last year?
I believe that was Stacks Book Club, and they are a small, locally owned coffee shop and book club in the Oral Valley Marketplace.
Yeah, so Makena was telling us that your members range from one employee all the way to
Thousands.
Who is the largest employer in Oregon?
I think Roche is probably.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you.
They have 1,800 people on their campus-ish,
yeah.
And that's on their campus. So that doesn't include people who work from home. And then also they, of course, have their distribution center now in Marana that they've expanded to. They've expanded their Oral Valley footprint even. You know, and then, of course, we have other large employers like the Oral Valley Hospital, right here, the resort, El Conquistador Tucson, you know, and then Amphi Public School
District. Yeah, we're going to be talking to Shelby Francom in just a few moments after the break. And what a great career he has had.
Yeah.
And what a community leader. Mm-hmm. He's on your board.
He's on our board.
Which is really super to see that he took the place of Otten Suarez,
mm-hmm.
Who was also a great general manager here. There's a whole line. I could have a whole show on the community involvement
yeah.
of the Hilton El Conquistador. It was the Sheraton when it opened up, and then the Hilton took over. And, boy, they have just had a string of wonderful community leaders here that have been. And this is your favorite place to have a meeting, isn't it?
It is. It's my favorite place to have a meeting. We hold all of our large events here. You know, they're just a wonderful resort, and they work with us very well. And they have the space and the capacity, and so it's really nice.
Yeah, so that'll be a nice lead-in for Shelby. This is The Morning Voice, and we've been here with Makena and Kristen from the Greater Oro Valley, and we're going to excuse them and let them get back to work. And thank you so much for being on and allowing us to be part of your celebration for the day. We do it annually here, and the Hilton El Conquistador is really the place to have it. So thank you all.
It's been a pleasure, Tom.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll see you inside.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Uh-huh.
And back to you. And this is The Morning Voice, and your host is me, Tom Moulton. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host for The Morning Voice. I'm here every Thursday from 7 to 9 talking tourism and special events. And, boy, I have to tell you, I've known this gentleman at least for maybe 2 or 3 years now, Shelby. Shelby Francom, he is the general manager of the El Conquistador, a Hilton resort. Now, and you do have a spa, though, so which is really neat.
We do.
And it's fairly new still. I mean,
it
you know,
during,
out in your...
During 2020 it opened,
yeah,
so yeah.
Fairly new, and we were able to be part of that when your predecessor, Otten Suarez, was the general manager. But Shelby, you have an interesting pathway to becoming the GM, and you're actually returned to this property. So I just heard when we were kind of getting ready for the interview that this is like was an old homecoming for you.
Yeah, we call them boomerangs. So you always kind of boomerang back to where you started from. So I was 1996. I'll date myself a bit, and was looking for a job and came up here and worked as a banquet setup attendant, running conferences and banquets. Back then it was ITT Sheraton, so we're going way back in time, pre-Starwood. And, so I was here for about 6 years and ended up leaving in August of 2002, right before Hilton came in December and purchased the property. So I spent about 15 years up in Phoenix at various private country clubs and golf courses, and then mostly large resort, that is Sheraton Wild Horse Pass, Marriott Buttes, overseas. And then came back to Tucson in 2017 and started back at this property as a hotel manager in August of 2019. So right before COVID started, I came into the property and I worked with Mr. Suarez, who's just an absolute gem. So he was able to teach me and kind of guide me into that. So, but it is a return. Most recently, we've converted over to Desert Hospitality Management, and they've assigned me 4 of our properties. So recently received a title of Regional GM for Desert Hospitality, so I'll be watching 4 of our other sister properties along with the El Conquistador.
Yeah, I saw that on your business card, and I apologize for not saying your title correctly,
no,
because, they want to keep you, I think.
Yeah, Elton Keystador for our collection is obviously the heavy hitter right now, so we're continually to expand and to look at new opportunities within Tucson and surrounding areas. The Elton Keystador is near and dear to my heart. I don't want to give it up, and I think we're happy that I can stay on this property, but along with that, kind of guide some of our other GMs and get them, perform at a high level and make sure that we have the best talent.
Well, it's a wonderful success story. Guy Alexander, who was also a GM here, went with a management company, Prism, and got a big promotion and went to Dallas, I think it was, wasn't it? And Guy and I worked together on golf things and attraction things and so on and so forth when I was working full-time at Pima County. But since I'm only 10 minutes away from here, this was my favorite place because I would always get to know the concierge because really a lot of people are new to the area and they had no idea what to do. So the concierge system here took really good care of the guests, including when they come up and say, so what is there to do in Tucson? So that was not a hard answer. And, of course, they always turn to the Catalina Mountains and shared some of the things that go on in the Catalina Mountains. And, I have to say, I mean, if there was a home away from home, for a lot of reasons, including the pool, because it's one of the best pools, and, of course, it has one a cocktail place out there as well. But when you walk in, you see this wonderful large lobby renovated not too long ago, I mean in the sense of hotels, but you catch the hotel bar, which is good, with probably the largest television screen I've ever seen in a bar, and then there's the pool. And I have a great story. And Otten and I had a visit from Papa Noel one Christmas day, and he and I got to hang out with Papa Noel for a while, and actually gave it was part of the Tucson Attractions Passport, which every year we feature one of the resort, and we featured probably the El Conquistador at least three times. I can remember Lynn, the GM, and then of course Otten, and now this year with the 2025 edition of the Tucson Attractions Passport, we partner once again with the El Conquistador. So, thank you, Shelby. I'd say that publicly. It's a wonderful gentleman to work with, and this success story though. There's a huge success story with Guy coming back and Prism going away because it got bought out by somebody. And then, as I hear it, the big bosses, Jerry and HSL, Bert, said, you know what? Let's do it ourselves.
Yeah, so when they purchased this property, they actually had an LLC called Desert Hospitality Management that was kind of sitting on a shelf and gathering dust. And with some of the larger management companies, you lose a sense of personalization, a sense of connectivity. When you're watching, a VP might be watching 1,000 properties. And, we don't get that connection. We can't have that relationship. And so by creating Desert Hospitality Management LLC, we're able to bring back some of those Prism individuals from a C-level and keep a small team. And now we can continue that relationship with our ownership directly. And it allows us to be nimble. It allows us to make decisions in the best interest of our people. It allows us to have an agenda that we believe in, and that's to hire, talent is key, but really warmth and generosity. This time, this kind of wave of the industry is, after post-COVID, there was a kind of a bad taste in people's mouth that had, either been furloughed or laid off or had temporary time away. And so now the name of the game is to get somebody that aligns with their culture. And so if you have warmth and generosity of both spirit and in action, we can train for skill. And so with Desert Hospitality and Guy at the helm as a COO, we're able to make decisions today that affect today. And I think that's one of the most brilliant and refreshing things, working in this industry for 29 years now, to have that nimble and just I can walk down the hill and go talk to my COO. And if I say, hey, this is important, we need to do this, you know, you get heard, and we can have discussions about things and make things happen.
Well, Guy is a very warm individual, as you said regarding your general managers. And I know maybe five out of your – how many HSL properties are there now?
There are going to be – so there's two that we just purchased in Mesa.
Okay. Outside of the Southern
Arizona.
We actually
have two, yes. It's the Wrigleyville Sheraton in the Courtyard, Wrigleyville West. We do manage a property outside of Oklahoma City with a different owner.
Okay.
And then we have our collection in Tucson. Which is
Oklahoma City got a great park there. It's a Six Flags Frontier City, and did some consulting with them many, many years ago. So it's a great, always good to be near an attraction. And we are here in Oro Valley, and certainly Tona Chool is our favorite attraction. But just down the road, there's the Biosphere as well.
State Park. We got a million.
Thank you for mentioning that.
I mean, just
the
everything.
Hiking trails. Yeah. Actually, next week's show is going to be on the hiking trails here in Pima County. As a matter of fact, there's two books now that have been written about the trails here and the loop. Of course, Chuck Huckleberry Loop, my former boss, put a lot of money into a multi-use path, or I should pathway, over 100 miles, and then of course Oro Valley and a lot of the other communities have joined in and kind of did a connector kind of thing. Well, we're going to be back for just in a few moments, and I'm going to ask Shelby to hang out because there are a couple of pressing questions I want to ask him. But you are listening to the Morning Voice. I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we are on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., trusted voice and news. We'll be right back after this break. Well, we are back, and this is the Morning Voice with Tom Moulton. I am here every Thursday talking about tourism, and today we're talking about a wonderful resort in my neighborhood, or the neighborhood of Oro Valley, and we're talking to Shelby Francom, who is the regional general manager who recently got promoted, and we've been talking about how wonderful it is to have your management company literally somewhere right off the lobby or downstairs a little bit, and the gentleman that is running it, Guy Alexander, and you know, we were talking about, Shelby, the success in a relatively new management company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 2023 was rock solid for us, coming out of kind of the holdback from COVID restrictions and kind of a reopening of eyes, and that's when we really took off, record-setting years. 2024 had great success on the tail end of the year, a little bit of a rough start, as ebb and flow kind of happens within resorts, you know, a very long booking window. And 25 is off to a tremendous start, with 26 having even a greater upside for us. So the rest of our collection obviously is spread from Marana all the way out to Tech Park and a lot of Midtown properties, and like I said, the two in Mesa. So we have a pretty dynamic portfolio that can kind of cater to whatever needs you really have, something on the east side for some banquet space and rooms, a rooms-only block, all the way out to Marana, which is obviously the hot spot and building up quick. So,
personal attention, I think, goes along with your hiring philosophy, because you get that direct feedback, or let's call it input, I think, and probably more input from Guy and his team, because they're right on property. Now, is this a totally unique management company style, or you've been involved with Prism, of course, before mm-hmm. that, and some other management companies as well? Is this a totally unique way of how they manage their hotels?
I truly believe so. So, again, I've worked for some ginormous conglomerate management companies, and one of them I worked for 6.5 years, and I met my EVP, who was based out of San Diego while I was in Phoenix, for the first time the day we sold. And, you know, so you don't get that. You get support via call, support via email, support via, you know, Zoom back in the day. But now it's you have a personalized, you can approachable, you know, you can pull on the hundreds of years of experience within our C-level, whether it be finance, HR, sales and marketing, or operations, or revenue management. You can pull on that immediately with a phone call or a walk down and a knock, and then get into somebody's office and be able to have a face-to-face. You know, we have the luxury of only being at 11 properties right now, So as you grow and expand, hopefully that will maintain kind of that grassroots type feel. But we really do want an organic growth pattern. We don't want to outgrow your scope and scale of how you're able to handle it. And I think that's one of the more refreshing things on Desert Hospitality is it's not just a cash grab. It's really genuine and roots up. And our promotions are coming from within with our new GMs. The new GM of Tech Park out Alfreda Road is a former housekeeping director from Embassy East for us. So we really love that organic kind of growth and organic kind of progression for each individual.
Yeah, now there's kind of a couple of websites that we probably should let people know, and of course the first one is yours. It's when you put in a hotel or a resort in the internet, sometimes you get all of these people that work with you, a third party OTAs, online
sponsored
travel agents.
Yeah, all your sponsored links. Yeah.
But there is a dedicated El Conquistador Tucson, I forgot that, I got to get that word, a Hilton Resort and Spa. And so you have your own dedicated website.
We do, yes. So it'll look very much like a vanity site, but it's actually a Hilton branded site. It's beautiful. It has lots of reels, has all of our activities on it, has pop-up banners, which will announce our brunches, Waterfest that I'll be doing. We're doing several weekends this year. We'll have DJs, inflatables, kids games, dive-in movies. You can also follow our socials, whether it be on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and all that information will be pushed out. Right now we're advertising for Easter brunch. I think we're just under 300 covers, or 300 individuals have reservations, and we're already advertising for our Mother's Day brunch. So whether you're on the website looking at that intermittently or if you follow our socials, our marketing director, Bridget, does a tremendous job, and her assistant, Leah, have put in some amazing content that you can kind of see what the experience is here. Through spring break, and then what we'll be having through the rest of the summer and the holidays.
Now, you can come here, and there's some wonderful restaurants here, and I come about every other Friday and have a burger and a beer in the lobby bar, and I, you know, watch the scenery and pay attention to the folks that are in town, and I think I've probably given away a few passports, to folks that are here, and they're really here. I mean, they're here for a week, which is rare, but... all right. This is the Tucson Morning Voice, and we'll be back for the 8 o'clock hour, and we want to thank Shelby.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Shelby, the Regional General Manager, as well as Kristen Sharp, and as well as Makina Markey for spending some time with us. We'll see you in a little bit. Well, good morning, and we are back with the Morning Voice. I am your host, Tom Moulton, of this wonderful show that every single weekday there's a different host where we get to talk to our wonderful community leaders here from Southern Arizona. And, boy, we had a great first hour talking with Shelby Francom, the Regional General Manager of the El Conquistador, Tucson, and as well as Kristen Sharp, the President and CEO of the Greater Oro Valley, and we are here today at the Greater Oro Valley annual meeting. And on the phone is both a good friend of ours, Tim Vimmerstedt, and he has a great guest with him, Alan Michaels. Good morning, Alan.
Well, good morning to you, Tom Moulton, and to Tim Vimmerstedt. Thank you very much for having me on The Voice this morning on KVOI, Tucson's only local news talk at 10:30 a.m. How's that for a break for you guys?
Very good, Alan. If you recognize that voice, Alan and Joan Lee were on the radio for many, many, many years, playing my favorite music, there is life after radio, isn't there, Alan?
Yes, there is. By the way, thanks for saying that Alan and Joan were on the radio for many, many, many years. Thank you. That just reminded me how old I really am. Anyway, after we left radio, we went into helping the community as we did for many years as we were radio personalities on Cool 92.9, doing the oldies there for many, 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 many years. But we went out into the community and continued to help the the nonprofit. So right now I'm the development director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. The organization deals with children that have been abused. Nobody likes to talk about but it does happen in our community.
Yes, yes, unfortunately. So we asked Alan to be on the radio with us this morning because we are at the El Conquistador, and Alan has a wonderful event coming up.
Tomorrow night at the Hilton El Conquistador, 10,000 North Oracle Road in beautiful Oro Valley, we have the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona, third annual Heroes Without Capes, where we will be honoring and giving awards to people in our community that are helping to prevent children from being abused. And it's a great event. Like I said, the third annual event. We're out to raise money for the CAC, the Children's Advocacy Center, of course. We will have a silent auction. We will have lots of great raffle prizes. We'll have dinner, and we'll have a couple of live auctions. You'll be hearing from some of the people, some of the kids that have been through the Children's Advocacy Center staffing program and learn how they dealt with everything and how they are today, because we help heal the children that have been abused. That's what we are all about, and we are the only ones in all of Tucson and Southern Arizona that do what we do. So with that in mind, tomorrow night's event is a fundraiser and a great event. You'll have fun, we'll help raise some money, and you'll be basically informed of what the Children's Advocacy Center does for our for the children that have been abused in our community. And it's just $100 per person. You get dinner, invitations. Just go to the website and donate. That's important to show us that you really care about helping our organization. Our website is cacsoaz.org. And the event is tomorrow night, beginning at 5:30 at the Hilton El Conquistador. It goes on till 9 o'clock, so it's an early evening. It's a great gala. It's our third annual fundraiser, and we could use your help and your attendance at the Heroes Without Capes tomorrow evening.
Alan, we got a lot of static on your line, and I wanted to ask you a couple of more questions. Could you go ahead and hang up and call in again, because I do have a couple more questions to ask you.
Okay, Tom, okay. We'll do.
All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Alan. But, Timmy,
yes, sir.
Are you still there?
Okay. I am still here.
All right, thank you. And as you know, we're live. When you're live and you do a broadcast live, you never know what's going to happen. It sounded like Alan was in a lightning storm, wherever Alan is.
Nope.
And we hope that he'll come back. We hope he'll come back in just a moment, and we can come on and let us know when he's here. But I want to ask Alan a couple questions about the Conquistadors.
We're experiencing some technical difficulties. We'll be right back on 10:30 The Voice for the Morning Voice.
Well, we're back, and we apologize for a little bit of interference here. We're coming to you live from the Hilton El Conquistador, and we still have a little bit of noise on there, but we're going to try to get through this and switch over to another phone after this break. So stand by, Brendan. So after this break, we'll be calling you on a different phone, hopefully clear up. This sounds like almost like electrical interference, but we still have on the phone Alan Michaels. Good morning, Alan. You back?
Good. Yes, I'm back. I'm here at Starbucks, not at Tucson Marketplace, by the way. That's where I am.
Well, listen, I wish I had one in front of me right now, but I got to wait.
Well, that's okay. I'm here at a meeting, with Sea Dog Travels, and Sea Dog is going to be one of our sponsors to give us a 5-day Mexican Riviera cruise for two as one of our two live auction items tomorrow night at the Heroes Without Capes event.
Yeah, and that's fantastic, and I really appreciate you coming on. I do have about 2 minutes that I wanted to ask you some questions because of your wonderful community service with the Conquistadors. Is that the name of the group that you belong to?
I wish I were, but no, I'm a Centurion.
Centurion. All right, thank you. I'm at the El Conquistador. But I wanted to on the Centurion side. I know you've been a Centurion for a long time, and they their event many times over at Keno Sports Complex, and I've seen you, been the announcer, but a great community leader. Tell us a brief story about the Centurions and what you guys are up to now.
The Centurions, well, we've been around since 1972. I've been a member since 1988 and been also the MC for the Centurion Party, which is Tucson's biggest and best party each and every year. It's coming up on Saturday, April 26th at Keno. This year's theme is Naughty Yachty. So it's just $125 per person. You can eat and drink all night long. You can enjoy the music from Yacht Rock Band and also Bare Naked Ladies. Are going to be on stage. There's gambling. There's T-shirts you can buy. You can socialize. There's going to be you and 5,000 or 6,000 of your closest friends at this party once again on Saturday, the 26th of April. That keynote begins at 6 o'clock.
Well, the Centurions are a wonderful
beneficiaries this
nonprofit.
Year is TMC for Children. And fortunately, my Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona is also one of the beneficiaries this year. So we're looking forward to this huge event this year at Keno.
Yeah, the Centurions love Keno, and I really appreciate you coming back to one of my favorite places. The Centurions is a nonprofit organization, and what are some of the things that your proceeds from this great party go to?
Well, like I said, this year TMC for Children has been our main beneficiary for the past few years, and Children's Advocacy Center is also one of the beneficiaries. Also, Candlelights of Children with Cancer, and we also have Trot as a beneficiary, and the Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So those are all the beneficiaries this year. All the money stays local, yeah, right here in Tucson and Southern Arizona for all and every Centurion Party we have each and every year.
Well, Alan, we really appreciate you coming on the air. I know radio is your passion, and I'm just this is my, I'm on maybe 16 months now of being on 10:30 a.m., trusted, news and voice, and we're enjoying talking to all of the tourism leaders and, of course, the nonprofits that kind of make this town the special place to live in. And, Alan, you have a great time tomorrow. I hope you raise a lot of money. It's a great cause. Thank you for talking to us about the Centurions and your event happening with that. Now, what was the date now of the Centurions event at the
Saturday, April 26th at Keno. And tomorrow night, our big event, Heroes of El Capes, at the El Conquistador Resort, beginning at 5:30 for the Children's Advocacy Center. Come on out. It's going to be a great, fun, informative evening.
Absolutely, Alan. Thank you again, and have much success.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Continued success to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Alan, good to hear you, buddy.
Tim Vimmerstedt is still on the phone, and he comes to us, who really takes a look at all of the special events that are going on. And Tim, how are you again? Good morning.
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. As we talked about, can you share with those three? We heard some other events that are going on, but can you share with us again those top three events that are you're highly recommending to go to this week?
Of course. The Arizona International Film Festival. It's been going on since April 3rd, mainly at the screening room at the Hotel Congress, but there's other downtown locations. We have the Agave Heritage Festival starting today. Features tastings, dinners, lectures, more. And then, of course, the great paper airplane fly-off. Something near and dear to my heart, having produced the first one at Pima Air and Space Museum. It's where kids 6 to 14 can compete in a fly-off, making and throwing their paper airplanes to see whose goes the furthest. Starts at 9:30 a.m. on April 12th at the Pima Air and Space Museum. And you can go to pimaair.org to find out more. Fantastic event. You and I had a lot of fun with that event back in 2012.
You actually constructed the world's largest paper airplane, didn't you?
We did, yeah. And then sitting around in a board meeting one day, we thought, well, we have to try to fly it. So you came with me up to Casa Grande, and we rented helicopters and took it up. It was probably 800 pounds, 45 feet long. It was a massive construction project, and you can still see pieces of it because it didn't land well. But at the Air and Space Museum, I dare to say it crashed.
I think all of us, when we were children, constructed our own paper airplanes, and what a better promotion than at an aviation museum to do that. So it's going to be an absolute blast. And you know, speaking of Pima Air and Space, we'll be having Scott Marchand on within the next sometime in May, and he's going to talk about his brand new third property associated with the how do you say the parent company of Pima Air and Space?
Arizona Aerospace Foundation.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me about that. So they have a third gate that opened up just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, their new military vehicle.
Now, that's been a passion of the executive director of Pima Air and Space, hasn't it, for a while?
Yeah, the chair of the board has been very passionate about military vehicles and has a collection himself.
Yeah, and that piece of property is a...
I think we ought to have Scott to let you drive a tank.
Well, I don't. You may not remember the story, Tim, but back in my days in Barstow, California, there was an Army base that conducted war games. Now, these war games were an entire division would go to this fort in the Mojave Desert. And there were, one division would play the enemy, and one division would play, our United States military, and they would conduct war games. And this, I mean, land, air, sea, complete war games. And after the war games, they let the generals go into the field and drive the tanks. Nice. And so we were part of the citizens group, and we got assigned to the Sherman tanks. And, of course, the generals got a chance to drive the M1 tanks. Okay. And let me just tell you, the difference being in an M1 tank is like the difference of driving a Cadillac and a Chevy. No offense to Chevy. But,
okay.
The M1 has shock absorbers, air conditioning, and the Sheridan was just, you were in a hole, in surrounded by a bunch of steel and a big gun. I'm glad you brought that up because it was a big tourism thing, a VIP tourism thing too, where you can observe the battle comfortably in a conference room. And of course, they were shooting laser bullets; they weren't shooting real bullets. And right. And you know, and then when you were done with the war games, you loaded up your tanks and your aircraft and everything else on the railroad line, and they got ready for the next battle. So practice is practice. Practice means perfection, and your military is practicing all the time. And I have to tell you, it was a big tourism event for, especially for the VIPs of the tourism world that would come into town. You know, and have a great and just have a great. We don't the military museum, vehicle museum. I can't wait to have Scott on and talk. Now, who is the chairman of the board that you were mentioning?
Well, it was Count Ferdinand von Gallen. I'm not sure if he still is.
Yeah, the count was
Scott's one of my dearest friends. And I'll never forget, we got a donation. We received the donation at Pima Air and Space of a Northrop Grumman had retired their fire truck. And it was a big three-axle monster. And so I had my 12-year-old nephews out to check it out. And he just said, well, why don't you let them drive it? And I go, well, they don't know how to drive. And he goes, I just let them have fun.
Well, you know, they're getting they're getting close to AI on driving because, you know, the driving assist program is on one of our new cars. But, you know, driving a military vehicle, Timmy, that would be a little bit different.
Yeah, they went out and crushed trees and had a field day.
Well, so as Tim mentioned, he was the marketing director over there at the Pima Air and Space as one of his wonderful jobs during his career in the tourism industry. And what was really impressive, Tim, we have a little delay here, so we apologize for that, but one of the things that Tim was infamous for is that he could tell you about every airplane or helicopter that was at the Pima Air and Space Museum. Tim, we were often very, very impressed by that.
Well, thank you. I used to drive my wife at the time nuts, taking her out there, and I said, point at a plane, I'll tell you the engine. I'll tell you what's in it. I'll tell you what it does. And she hated that game. Bored her to tears.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the great things about Scott Marchand before he was the executive director was he was in charge of I'm not sure the right word is acquisition, because many of the airplanes and equipment is on loan from the U.S. Air Force. They are constantly renovating those airplanes out there, and they have probably one of the largest reconstruction, renovation facilities out there. And those B-52s, right? Are the ones that are right there on the fence line?
Right.
Are they B-52s?
Right. Yes, sir.
They start. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
No. I said yes, sir.
Well, they started renovating those B-52s, and if you haven't been to the Pima Air and Space, we're giving a little plug for them, but they're a nonprofit organization. I love to go out there. I have a lifetime membership, thanks to the board of directors when I retired from Pima County, and it's a wonderful place.
Well, we're back, and this is a morning voice, and I'm really enjoying being here live from the Hilton El Conquistador. We used to call it that. Now it's called the El Conquistador Tucson Hilton Resort, and we're here for the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce Annual Meeting and Award. And I just walked into the nonprofit fair, and boy, there's probably over 80 nonprofits where the Greater Oro Valley Chamber gets a chance to share with all of their members these wonderful nonprofits. And of course, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance is there. And this morning I have the president, Peter Tsai. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Tom.
Now, Peter, you've been traveling the world, I think, you know, but where are you from originally?
I was actually born in Taiwan, Taipei, Taiwan, so.
Well, that's always been in the news lately.
just a little, and I moved here when I was about 2 years old, so I basically grew up in the United States.
Yeah, and Peter is in the tourism business, started his own company here, so you're quite the entrepreneur, and we've had Peter on the show before, but I think it's important to keep our audience refreshed because you are growing and you're learning about the Southern Arizona, but you also do some things around the United States as well, don't you?
Yes, that is correct. We are I don't know what we are. We're a destination management company or a concierge service.
Well, you're a hybrid, they call that.
Yeah. And we do a lot of events outside of Tucson. We do work nationally. So,
now, I've had the pleasure of going to several meetings with you, including the wonderful group out of that little five-star hotel chain in Marana.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about working with other DMCs here in town.
A lot of the DMCs, we kind of work together. Sometimes they have overflow and we'll spread the business around, or sometimes they just need help or advice, and we always pitch in to help each other. So
we got a chance, I guess it's been a year or so ago, where Peter had a wonderful client that wanted to have their event in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And having served as the marketing director of both the Audubon Zoo and the Aquarium of the Americas, I got hired. It was more of a courtesy hire in the sense that there were a few things that took place while we were there, including the New Orleans Skull Club.
Yes.
And I don't remember if you were a member of the Skull Club before that when we went. Were you a member? Okay, so tell us a little bit about your experience with Skull Tucson.
Oh, Skull Tucson has been wonderful, actually. It's been a great club for networking, for helping me do some of the national events, because they have Skull members internationally, and I can always call a Skull member and they can help me, advise me of which vendors to use or what's available in certain cities. So Skull has just been really, really wonderful for me. It's the oldest, I think, right, Tom?
1934.
Yeah, the oldest tourism club, I guess, if you want to call it that, in the world.
Yeah, we're now calling them chapters.
Okay.
they're in 85 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Close to 13,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
We have clubs, of course, the largest collection of chapters,
mm-hmm.
Are in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some countries that are nearing or getting close to the number of clubs we have. And I think it's India, but don't hold me to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Canada mm-hmm. has a wonderful group of clubs. Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I am off to Tampa for the MASC, North America Skull Conference. And we'll have folks from Canada, United States, as well as Mexico descend upon Tampa Beach, St. Petersburg. And we have, for about 3-4 days, and we have a lot of, you know, skull meetings, and we get to know and learn from each other. Each club chapter mm-hmm. is different, so there's a lot of networking that goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have maybe 4 or 5 people coming from the Tucson Skull chapter that will be there. And that's the end of the month. We do this annually, and I have been in Canada and Mexico many, many times in my 30-plus year career in Skull International. Skull International started with a bunch of hotels got together and said, "Hey, why don't we do this more often?" And next thing you know, we grew to New York and Boston and which are the Boston being the largest skull club, Orlando,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when Pete and I got to know each other a little bit, I knew he was new to the area, so we decided that we were going to, you know, get Peter in the club,
mm-hmm.
and you've been active. As a matter of fact, you bid on this match, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Unfortunately, we didn't get it, but yes, I did bid on it.
Well, you know, the desert versus the beach.
Yeah, I know.
And this hotel that we're going to be at is right on the beach.
Exactly.
And you know, Busch Gardens used to run a wonderful park there, and it's run by another outfit now. But, you know, this wonderful theme park area
mm-hmm.
between Tampa and Orlando. So a lot of people are making a 1 week or a 2 week vacation out of that. And we're really looking forward to that. I wish you could come, but I know you were gone for several weeks and you don't want to catch up again, do you?
No.
Now this Helms Riskell thing that you're mm-hmm. involved in, I think is, besides the excellent training that you got,
mm-hmm.
You now really are qualified to plan events throughout the United States as well.
Actually, internationally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yep. And, Helms Briscoe is been an interesting, and I really like it. Helms Briscoe does is the site selection service. In other words, if you have an event and you're a company that wants an event, you can call Helms Briscoe to help you find the site of your event, including, you know, the hotel, everything, negotiate the contract for you, and do all the stuff that really is a headache and frustration for most people. But the best part is that it's all free to you. You know, Helms Briscoe is paid by the hotels that they actually eventually do contracts with. So it's a free service. And it's great and takes headache. For me, it's great because I help do the site planning. And then afterwards, I can follow up with doing some destination management at the site if they need it. So
And the good thing is you have several folks here in town with different meeting backgrounds
mm-hmm.
That work with you and work with Helms Briscoe as well. Some of them are, at least one of them, is a member
mm-hmm.
of the SAAA, that Stories and Strolls,
mm-hmm.
That does historical tours.
Yep.
Pete, I want to thank you. I know you got to get back to the nonprofit fair.
Yep.
And I'll see you there in just a few minutes. All
okay,
right.
Okay, Tom. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
We'll turn it back to Brendan, and thank you. And we'll be back for one more segment. This is the Morning Voice with your host, Tom Moulton. Well, good morning, and we are back. This is Tom Moulton, your host, and this is the Morning Voice. We've pretty much got through this remote here at the El Conquistador Tucson Hilton Resort, where they are hosting the Greater Oro Valley annual meeting and award ceremony, and they are just about ready to get going with the show at 9 o'clock. Beautiful buffet breakfast that they have put together for the 375 chamber members that are here to celebrate and honor the Oro Valley Small Business and the Oro Valley Entrepreneur and all kinds of different awards that they're giving. The mayor of Oro Valley is here, as well as all kinds of folks. And we've had the opportunity to learn more about Shelby Frankham, the regional general manager of the resort here in town, and Alan Michaels, former Cool person that was with a wonderful radio station that had an oldies with Joan Lee and Alan Michaels, is hosting a fundraiser here for his charity and Children's Advocacy. And then, of course, we heard from Kristen as well about she revealed to us the finalists for all these awards. So that was really nice of her to do that. And Tim has shared with us his wonderful events that are going on. Now, last week, Tim, we talked about the folk festival, and it was downtown, and I got a chance to see the setup and wandered over there a little bit over the weekend, and oh my goodness gracious. I mean, downtown is the place to have a festival, Tim. It's a wonderful festival, lots of music. One of the things that Tim and I talked about is that years ago we were going to go on a road trip and enjoy some music, and we never got around to that, Tim. I think one of these days we need to get in that car and head over to New Orleans and enjoy some really New Orleans jazz.
I'm ready whenever you are, sir.
You know, we
you are the boss.
Our sponsoring group is Visit Tucson, and they've been with us for ever since the beginning, 27 years, and the Attractions Alliance is having their own annual meeting next week on the Wednesday, the 16th, from 10 to 12 at the Tucson Wagon and History Museum. And we have both the rodeo and the rodeo parade going to be in attendance. And, you know, we're celebrating 100 years of two wonderful events, the rodeo parade, which used to kick off the rodeo weekend, and now, of course, the rodeo week is back-to-back weekends. But the Southern Arizona, so the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. I don't remember, were you ever in one of the parades, Tim, with the parade?
I was at Trail Oaks.
Yeah, okay,
We built a stagecoach just for it, and it was fun.
It is. You probably have memories of me riding a horse with the old Tucson mayor's outfit.
Yes, and, you were the mayor.
We came across a couple of those pictures. I still have that hat. It doesn't fit anymore. I don't know whether either the hat shrunk or my head grew. I'm not quite sure which one it was. But I still have the famous old Tucson mayor hat that you may recall seeing me. We had a great, I think you were around when we took that picture on the Reno, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the guy holding the shotgun.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've had a great time here at the Hilton El Conquistador, Tim, haven't we? And we will be back next week with if it all comes together, we're going to talk about the trails of Southern Arizona, because hiking is huge here in town. And I want to thank you for listening to The Morning Voice. And I'm your host, Tom Moulton, from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Thursday. Bye now.